The National Academy of Public Administration has elected a new class of fellows. They're tasked with examining and reporting to Congress on some of the most complex management and policy issues in government. Stacia Hilton is director of the U.S. Marshals Service at the Justice Department. Her law enforcement career spans more than three decades, where she's held positions such as chief for the Judicial Security Programs and the Emergency Response Incident Commander for Ground Zero after 9/11. Director Hilton joins me now. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on the Federal Drive. I'm certainly proud to be here representing the men and women of the U.S. Marshals Service.
So you are all law enforcement all the time, 32 years. Tell us about how you started in all this.
You know, it's a great career. And certainly since the age of seven, I never wanted to do anything besides law enforcement and be a cop. So for me, I went to Northeastern University that had a cooperative education program and actually started with the U.S. Marshals Service at 19.
Wow. And you went to Northeastern on an athletic scholarship. You got to tell us what the sport was.
You know, I started on swimming, but I really went to play volleyball. So I told my dad I was giving up my swimming scholarship. And of course, I was the youngest of all the children. First time he got a scholarship, and he was like, what? But I ended up playing volleyball. I told him, no problems. I'm going to end up playing volleyball. And I had a full scholarship for volleyball.
Oh, good. So you didn't do the usual teenager thing of breaking dad's heart one way or another.
Just momentarily for fun.
All right. So tell us about the Marshals Service. I think people don't understand the scope of what it is that you do. And let's point out right from the beginning, it's not the air marshals. That's Homeland Security, but every other kind of marshal.
That's correct. Actually, you know, most people picture it from the olden days in the Western and seeing John Wayne and True Grit. But in so many ways, that work still remains the same. And so really, our overall responsibility is protecting the federal judicial system and enforcing the justice. And so with that is the protection of the courts, the judges, U.S. attorneys. But the apprehension of fugitives remains our core mission, along with federal justice protection. And so, you know, it's great. It's a great agency. We arrest about 120,000 federal and state and local fugitives every single year.
And I want to talk about career for a moment, because when you started, there were women in law enforcement at that time. But 32 years ago was a little bit different than things are now. How has it changed for women, both at senior executive levels in the federal government and in law enforcement?
You know, Tom, I've had so many wonderful opportunities. I worked with some wonderful individuals. You know, I spent 10 years in Special Operations Group with some very dedicated men, most Vietnam veterans. And so I've really actually never reflected on the changes as it relates to women. As much as I reflect on the changes that has occurred in law enforcement. You know, I was laughing as I was thinking about it to think, you know, we didn't even have computers back then. You know, iPads and all the cell phones and telephones, none of that existed. And so we were kind of on foot doing interviews and typing our reports at the computers. And so we have so many more assets to deal with the criminal element today. And that's wonderful.
I was going to say, do you think those assets have helped law enforcement, or sometimes automation maybe causes certain skills people might have had at one time to atrophy a little bit because they rely too much on the technology?
You know, it's a very interesting point you make. We study that quite a bit because really in 2011, you know, we lost two deputy U.S. marshals and seven task force officers in seven different ambush shootings because we're out in so many cities. And in that, we did a review for safety because it became my top priority. I was new on the job and I wanted to make sure with everything that our men and women have to do that they would be safe. And with that, in that study, it was who's shooting us and why? What kind of work were we doing? And what was technology doing for us? And how could we leverage it even further? So how are we going to get to state-of-the-art equipment? How are we going to use technology to keep our people safer even? And so I think actually technology has been beneficial. I think it helps us on the investigative operations side of the house. But I also feel that it hinders us on the protective operations, social media, and how quickly people blog and get, you know, kind of hate groups bond together. And so for us, in our mission, it kind of splits both ways. So it's advantageous to us on one hand and a challenge for us on the other.
Yeah, something to keep up with all the time. And what about firepower? You mentioned some ambushes and so forth. And, you know, at different times in the history of law enforcement in the United States, the good guys have found themselves outgunned. What have you done to upgrade, and how are you upgrading the equipment for stopping bad people in terms of firepower?
Yeah, so one thing we do, of course, we rapidly deployed a week-long safety training, and I'm proud to say we've trained thousands and thousands of deputies. We keep that training in place, which is really a strong tactical training, which is how to ensure to be able to stay safe, apply any medical treatments if shots are fired and teammates are injured of any kind. But, you know, really, I don't think that we're outgunned as much as that we have a different criminal element. It's always shifting over decades. And it's really what you see now. You know, in the 80s, we faced La Cosa Nostra, Gotti, organized crime. It was very organized, the criminal element. Today, we're really facing...
In some ways, that was safer for police and law enforcement than what you have now.
In all honesty, it really was, because you just had a different element out there. There was almost rules. And today, even gangs have involved. And so you have all these pop-up individual criminal activities that are going on, and violence and access to guns for convicted felons, you know, is really a challenge for law enforcement.
We're speaking with Stacia Hilton. She's director of the U.S. Marshals Service at the Justice Department and recently inducted into the National Academy of Public Administration. And speaking of the gangs and so forth that have come and gone and seemingly come again, how much cooperation is there between Marshals Service and, say, some of the protective elements involved with the immigration deal? Because some of those become fugitives. Do they come into your purview? And what kind of interagency cooperation is there on immigration and the criminal element associated with that, or illegal immigration?
We actually work closely together with the Department of Homeland Security and ICE, as you know them, and really across all federal law enforcement agencies, along with state and locals. The one thing after 9/11 that really happened was we have a lot of different task forces. Law enforcement has really learned to leverage each other's assets and expertise. And so the Marshals Service really is looked upon for our capabilities that we've held for 225 years in tracking and apprehending fugitives. So most of the agencies turn to us, and in one way or another, we're on task forces working together, and we're bringing those assets to the table.
And what about training? How has training changed over the years in terms of what the marshals have to do?
You know, you can never have enough training in law enforcement. And so while we have some very intricate investigative training and protection training, as I said earlier, we actually did a quick and rapid deployment of safety and survival training to really teach individuals, whether it's building entries, vehicle stops, on how we work with our state and local partners on these task forces. So it's more of a team effort of bringing, you know, these groups that are on the street together in other agencies together and then having them train together. And I think that's one thing that has changed.
And how does, I guess the backbone of the agency is the deputy marshal. And how does one get to be a deputy marshal, and what kind of people do you look for when recruiting?
Well, of course, we look for people of great caliber and perseverance and integrity. I mean, that's certainly part of our motto, integrity and service. And so there is a character trait that we look for in an individual, because they're long and tough hours, you know, across the nation, even international a little bit. But you become a U.S. Marshal by looking on USA jobs.gov, and we will post and have examinations. It's a competitive service. And so first step is to take the exam.
And looking across the missions that you have, asset forfeiture, prisoner operations, prisoner transportation, witness security, and as you mentioned, judicial security, which is the heart of it, fugitive operations, a lot of different pieces. Mm-hmm. When you go into your office in the morning, what do you look at to kind of get a pulse of what the heck is going on across this widespread mission?
It starts very early in the morning, and thank God I have a wonderful executive team of men and women that do a great job running the agency along with me. And so there are quick and fast briefings. But in general, you know, operations in any law enforcement is extremely busy in the morning, what occurred during the night and what we're setting ourselves up to do during the day. Because as you mentioned, we move hundreds of thousands of prisoners in our Justice Alien Prisoner Transportation System. We have several aircrafts, ground assets. We get court going across 450 facilities on any given day, and so a lot's moving.
And how do you do planning in terms of budget and manpower requirements when you really don't know what the crime picture is going to be for a given year or the prisoner population and so on?
Yes, I'm very proud to say that we have built some very robust forecasting models, and we have some wonderful statisticians in place that help us project trends and analysis when it comes to prisoner populations. Same thing with fugitive operations. We have men and women that have dedicated their careers to what we're looking at on the street, what we anticipate. And so, you know, it is a very broad budget request. And as you can appreciate, the last 4 years have been a challenge for us. But we've done that in a rooted business operating model they've put in place, which is a strategic performance management system. So it's really about looking out ahead. Where do we want to be? What do we want to achieve? How do we think we can partner in our communities to reduce the criminal element? And how best are we going to handle the challenges that protective operations are challenging?
Is there anything about the job you wish you didn't have to do? I mean, what do you like least about it? Administrative type of functions or what?
Well, I think people that know me that thinks, I have a love affair with the Marshals Service, which is true. I've been with it for so long, can I honestly say there's not anything I don't like about it, the job itself. I think we always find it a challenge in D.C., I received the honor from the president and the Senate confirmed me in this position is certainly an honor. And I embrace those challenges that we face as a country on budget challenges.
And are you a BlackBerry or iPhone person?
Oh, hi. I have them both. Can you believe it? One of each.
Actually, I can believe it.
Yes, I do.
And so I guess one is the classified stuff and one is maybe the unclassified.
Yeah, I need both to keep me going on any given day.
All right. Stacia Hilton is the director of the U.S. Marshals Service at the Justice Department. A quick question. Any idea what they're going to have you do at NAPA?
You know, basically, that's a great personal accomplishment, which I appreciate. And I hope and look forward that when I'm out of the director's position that I can contribute my knowledge of the government. And I welcome that opportunity and thank the people that are nominated me and selected me.
All right. So right now it's the Marshals Service and the daily operations there. That's front and center.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Stacia Hilton, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.